Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, the ant trap. This cast answers these questions. What do you do when your boss's peer tasks you? How can you avoid relationship damage with your boss's peers? What kind of authority does your boss's peer have over you and your team? And why do we call it the ant trap?
Well, yeah,
if you want answers to these questions for more, keep listening. Here we go.
Folks, you're not going to believe this, but we have a public conference, in-person public conference, coming up on February 9th. We will have an event in Vancouver. Unfortunately, no Americans can go. I don't think any other country can go but Canadians, but we have a very loyal audience in Canada. Again, the location is Vancouver. It's February 9th and February 10th, EMC and ECC, and we do still have some slots. So please come to the website and sign up. Our favorite thing to do is to present in person. Hope to see you there.
We're going to talk about the ant trap. Tell me what.
Yeah. So look, dude, this used to be called the uncle trap. You know, my boss's peer, inevitably 30 years ago, most likely a male, right? That would be your uncle. And so all we've done is modernize the reference. So now it's the ant trap, not the uncle trap, but the ant trap.
I like it.
Yeah. And basically what we're talking about here is, look, guys, your boss has rule power over you and your team, obviously. So when he or she, but we'll make it he in this case because we want to make a distinction about genders here. But when he tasks you, it's no surprise. Like, that's how work happens. Stuff flows downhill, right? But what about your boss's peers? You know, can they task you? Do they really have role power over you? Are you obligated to comply? Is it a thing, right? What effect does your boss's relationships with his peers have on her, your aunt, tasking you? It depends on relationships and it depends on communication. What do you know? Go figure. Relationships matter. Communications matter.
This would be an example. One of a million, right?
Well, one of every single podcast we've ever done where relationships and communication matter. So here's our outline, guys. First rule, your aunt, your boss's peers, do not have rule power over you, despite what they say, despite how they act, despite how superior they seem to believe, despite the way they frame things as questions, but in fact, it's very clear it's a demand. Doesn't matter. They don't have any rule power over you. Second rule, take care of your boss's friends and avoid his enemies. And the third rule is, communication. Keep your boss in the loop throughout.
This is awesome. That's a great topic, dude. I'm looking forward to this.
It's fun. It happens a lot. Companies, we'll talk about it more, but companies get this idea that we're going to have some different structure, but the same stuff comes up over and over again. And in a more matrixed or a more project-y world, this kind of stuff happens all the time.
Okay. So our first point, your aunt doesn't have any role power over you.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, when your aunt says she does, she's just wrong. It's like when you say lawyer show and they say, I'm sorry, your client is wrong on the facts and the law. I mean, he has his opinion, but it's literally you got nothing. But look, let's first define the ant trap, okay? There's a common usage, guys. I'm sure you've probably used it before just as a way to make a discussion easier of defining organizational relationships, work relationships, with familial referential names. Now, look, guys, this is no way a justification of the comparison, okay? Work and home comparisons are rarely good, okay? If you start referring to your directs as your kids, you're stupid. If you do it in front of your directs, you're just crushing your dreams in terms of results and retention. The only thing worse than that would be our good friend Michael Swinson's former boss, who once gave a talk saying, "Everything I learned about management, I learned from my dogs." and then seemed shocked that there was a problem with that. He
Pratt.
Yeah. So, but it is helpful in terms of the verticality and the fact that families have a history, a genealogical history up and down in the form of verticalness, right? If your boss is your parent, mother or father, again, not that, don't go there. Then your boss's boss is your grandparent and your boss's peer, somebody else who reports to your boss's boss along with your boss, is your uncle or aunt. And an uncle or aunt of yours, their direct, is what we would refer to very colloquially. I'm just describing how they talk in certain places. Your cousin. And the ant trap, which is modernized from the historical use of something called the uncle trap. And if you've never heard of it before, this is just another example of how it's not your job to learn about management. It's your job to do management, and nobody taught you. We get that. And that's part of the reason we're here. Because if you know all this stuff, if you know why this stuff is and how it came to be and why it exists and what the rules are around it, you can make decisions in your situation, even when the situation's 30% different, because you understand the underlying rules, okay? The aunt trap, Mike and I were talking about this before. Should we call it the aunt or the ant? I call it aunt just because I think it relates now to those little creatures that go around on legs that played a great part in Richard Feynman's books, by the way. There's a geeky sci-fi, not sci-fi, I guess, just science reference. Great books, Richard Feynman. The ant trap is when your aunt, your boss's peer, okay? And by the way, your boss's peer doesn't extend to any other person in the company at your manager's level. It's close to that, but it's not the same. When I think aunt, I mean somebody who reports to your boss's boss as well. And it's far more likely than somebody who's a distant third party. Although there are similarities to that, because we'll talk about the issue of role, power, and rank in a minute, and people are attempting to use rank in those situations. But the ant trap is when your aunt, your boss's peer, attempts to use her role power, again, because she outranks you, to get you to do something. She asks for something non-trivial. We're not talking about small favors. Hey, you're going to Starbucks. Can you get me a coffee? That's not an ant trap. Okay. And she hasn't first cleared it with her peer, your boss. Okay. Now remember, she asked for something non-trivial. And remember, and your resources. So she asked you for something more than just you running to Starbucks, and it involved your, potentially could involve your people. It might just involve only your time, but it could also potentially involve your people. And you have to remember that all of the resources, all the people that report to you also are your boss's resources. Okay. That's an ant trap.
Okay. So let's get clear though. I mean, there's no way, despite the way some of your boss's peers may act, none of them, nobody outside your direct chain of command has any role power over you, right?
No. And if they say they do, they're just ludicrously false. Again, they're wrong on the facts and the law and the precedent and right. The Supreme Court decisions and everything else.
Not like they don't threaten or they don't bully. They do.
Yeah, they totally do that stuff. They threaten, they bully, they do all that stuff. And they act as if, right? Because again, I love this. I remember when I learned this the first time, it was probably 15, 20 years ago. The root of the word believe, if you go look at the etymology or the breakdown by syllable, it means to act as if, right? So if you act as if something is so, then you believe it. Isn't it great that behaviors matter, even in word definitions? So if they act as if, hey, listen, I'm going to need you to do this. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I don't know who you are. Oh, I know your boss. I'm a director over in XYZ. Yeah, sorry. Look, no problem. I'll be happy to check with my boss. You know, great to meet you. And if I can do this, I totally will. And just so you know, I gotta check with my boss. And the guy goes, well, I think you should know I'm a director. I'm a senior director actually over, and our project is a number one around here. I mean, clearly, don't you understand how much the world revolves around me? Actually, a good part of the solar system revolves around me. They call me Saul. You know, there are people like this. And they do it blatantly. And they lie and tell you that they've talked to your boss. And then when you say to him, he told me he talked to you. No, he didn't talk to me. Seriously, the dude lied. Well, technically, there was a meeting and we were both in it. And he said something out loud, which seemed to indicate he would need you. But he didn't talk to me. And I don't know that Yahoo from Adam. And I ain't giving you up. And so he can go pound sand. And you say to yourself, really? People say, oh, I talked to him because they made a statement in a meeting that referenced me indirectly. And therefore, they think that allows them to say, I talked to your boss. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, nobody who listens to Manager Tools would do that, but others.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, high Ds might. Yeah. And look, the more senior their title, the more those threats and that bullying and their attitude will influence you. But guys, their role power does not extend to you or anyone on your team or in your organization. Now look, we've been defining role power the same way for a long time. And I get questions about it all the time. And people don't understand that I'm not spending 5 hours describing the derivation of role power, how it came to be, why it is what it is, why it is not what most people think it is. And it would be really good if people learned it. Hell, they don't even teach it in business school. They don't teach it in undergraduate business school. They don't teach it at MBA programs. They don't teach organizational theory in any way that makes any sense in terms of behaving in an organization. Ugh, it's horrible. I mean, it's just a sad, sad letdown about an important part of the world, which is professional life and human organizations. So, frankly, it surprises more people haven't asked me about role power because it defies the common understanding. Most people think of role power as being similar to rank being military rank. And guys, I'm just telling you, it is not. That is a really bad analogy because it carries suppositions with it, which are just not so. Role power is the ability to speak for the organization to your own organization. And by that, I mean the people beneath you. Because the organization cannot speak to everyone effectively or efficiently. And it's that part of that definition, to the part where you say to your own organization, that makes the ant trap a trap. Okay? Just because you're a director doesn't mean all managers in the company report to you. It doesn't mean you can throw your weight around. Now, look, if you're the CEO's cousin and you're a director, everybody knows you're the cousin, or hey, you're a 10% owner in the club. Okay, fine. In the company, that's fine. Those are all things unrelated to your rank. That has to do with relationships and politics, which are nothing but relationship effects. But don't tell me that, well, he's somebody special, so he can do that. I'm not saying people are special that you wouldn't roll over and say, sure, I'll do it for you. But it's not because of his rank. It's not because of his role power. Okay? Because rank has no conception in vertical, non-military organizations. And let me just say something briefly about rank. Mike and I might know something about it since we had rank in the military. Everybody, of course, has rank in the military. Rank in the military means that any officer who ranks higher than you can give you a lawful order. And a lawful order is one that if you don't follow it, you're being unlawful. Now, there are rules about what lawful orders are. I can't tell you to do something illegal and consider that to be a lawful order. But it's illegal. Dudes, illegal. Okay? Most people don't understand this. In the military, to not follow an order of an officer who outranks you. Not kidding. It's a big deal. I'll give you another example of things people don't understand. Military officers are not allowed to speak or be seen in public, politicking or protesting for a cause. It's against the law in the military. When Mike and I were lieutenants, if you bounced a check, that made you economically at risk and you went to jail. So don't think you understand the military. I'm not saying you shouldn't. We're happy to tell you about it, but it's a big deal, some of this stuff. In the military, though, the thing that makes rank so much different than role power, there's training and discipline that every officer goes through regarding the use of their rank, and it is not taken lightly to give an order to a subordinate who is not in your direct chain of command. There is an extra burden put upon you, and officers are educated on that. Just like Mike was the deputy honor captain at West Point in my class, our class in 1982, he taught incoming plebes. I guess they were like class of like 85, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, 85 to 85, yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, class of 85, dude.
Oh, class.
Remember, you taught honor. When you taught honor, did you only teach it to our class or did you teach it to?
Oh, no. I taught it to the incoming freshmen called plebes.
Freshmen? Freshmen? Did you just say freshmen about school?
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
you you need to go to our.
Unlike Navy. You, I try to put it in words that our audience can understand.
No, there's no such thing as. Well, yeah, but plebe is gender neutral and freshman isn't. So there you go. So I'm maybe more modern than you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Save me, folks.
For once in my life, I'm thinking maybe Paul will cut this out. Paul, don't cut this out. I don't think Paul's ever cut anything out I've ever said. So an officer who went to another unit outside of his direct chain of command and outranked somebody and gave an order, the order would be followed, but that officer would be
accountable for having issued that order.
Oh my gosh, that would be quite serious. Yeah. Yeah. So we just give you that a little bit of background because rank, guys, role power and rank are two completely different things. Rank is not how civilians organizations are organized or how they work. Role power is not rank, and it was never intended to be. Yes, for those of you who know a little bit about organizational history, military organizations are the genesis of the vertical structures in our modern organizations today. If you think sometimes your company functions like the military, you're right. It's supposed to. Okay? But that's because the military was the only organization bigger in the world that they could use as a model when companies, small organizations with apprentices and interns and journeymen and so on, and guilds and so on, when they finally got big enough to need some sort of scaffolding upon which to deal with the complexity of work when we're talking tens of thousands of people trying to be aligned in delivering an output that's profitable so they can stay doing what they want to be doing. They were the biggest organizations in the world, and they served as a template. In fact, the first organizations to follow them were the railroads because the railroads were bigger. But rank did not make the transition into civilian organizations because they understood what rank was and why it was necessary in the military, but why it would not work in civilian organizations because of the nature of the military and the differences with civilian organizations. I mean, people actually thought about this. Now, there are stories of IBM in the 60s and 70s. They experimented with managers wearing like railroad track devices with two or three or four or five bars. Actually, Mike, to some degree, a little bit like cadet insignia, remember the two bars, three bars, four mm-hmm. bars? Yeah. They wore that on their collars and it didn't work at all. So all that said, your aunt does not outrank you because thankfully there is no rank. Even if she acts like a bullheaded general, or a bullheaded major, and you think of yourself as a captain or a lieutenant or whatever, it ain't there. She got nothing, okay? Nor does she have role power over you. Role power only extends directly downward within your own part of the organization. We've heard people say now about this, that's actually not exactly so, because your boss's nearest peer reports to your boss's boss, their role power of the boss's boss is therefore referential to you, and also indirectly to your aunt, and therefore your aunt has that power. These people are being so specious, and they're lying to you. It's false. That's not how organizations are meant to work. They're wrong on the facts and the law and the history. I promise you, they're full of it. Ignore them. Just look at them and say, I have to go to the bathroom, or I need to go get a cup of coffee. You keep on talking. You do you. Look, they're just trying to make their power play sound good, and they're fibbing, and it's vulgar, and they should stop. Now, look, this isn't to say, guys, that we shouldn't be deferential to people who are more senior than us, okay? Be politically wise. Defer. Be respectful. But your interpersonal deference with your aunt are not the same thing as you expending corporate resources, your team's time, and your time on her behalf. Deference doesn't have to go that far. You can be nice and say you'll have to check with your boss. You can be nice and say no to one of your boss's enemies. Now, look, guys, I know what some of you are thinking. I don't need to listen to this. You might assume that because your organization is more modern, or because your organization is flatter, or your organization is cutting edge, I love that, or your organization is anti-hierarchy, or your organization is matrixed, that this general principle doesn't apply to you. And there are times when organizations make specific reference to how these kinds of power and resource conflicts should be resolved, perhaps with dispensations and projects and flatness and so on. But the fundamental principle is where you have to start. Okay? You're generally not obligated to follow the dictates of your aunt on the basis of her role power alone, because she has none over you. Now, can you do favors for your aunt? Heck yeah, you can. And you should. If you have a good relationship and it's a trivial request, do it. Favors matter. There's a whole subculture in every organization in the world at play all the time about favors. I do favors for people all the time. Why? Because I want people owing me a lot of favors. But you do not ask for favors by relying on role power. That's part of the aunt trap as well. If you're in good relationship with your aunt and she asks you for a small favor, hey, dude, will you check this document over real quick for me? Just 15 minutes. Okay, fine. Yeah, sure. We have a good relationship. No problem. It's going to take 15 minutes. Now, if you're going to have to spend the whole weekend doing it, completely different story. Now, if she's your mentor, okay, maybe. But that's not role power. That's relationship. That's politics. Okay? But somebody saying, hey, look, I haven't talked to your boss, but I need this from you. Will you do me a favor? Now you're in a gray area, particularly if you don't have a great relationship with somebody. So basically, guys, this is a long way of saying role power plays people who are relying on the fact that they outrank you from somebody outside of your direct leadership line is not cricket. They're an ant trap. We get a lot of questions here about what managers can do to help us get hired, if you will, by their company to come in and train more managers on the Manager Tools way. Usually because somebody's been listening to a podcast for a while and really likes our stuff. We always appreciate that. Just so you know, the biggest question we get, how much does it cost? It's $15,000 for up to 30 people. And if you don't know, that's an incredibly good deal. Typically, management training is around $1,000 a head per day. But we charge half that, in part because our mission is to make every manager in the world effective. And we try to make our products as fairly priced as we possibly can. And we think we do. So if you want to help your company, I will say the best way to help your company is become a great manager and have people come and talk to you about what you're doing rather than trying to persuade them. But if in fact you get into a conversation, you can tell them, hey, it's only $500 a head, which is pretty good from what I understand about management training. $15,000 for up to 30 people. And that leads us to how do you distinguish between all the different types of ant traps, right?
Yeah, exactly. And one big distinction is bosses' friends versus bosses' enemies, as if your boss really has enemies. But
oh, dude, I did. I mean, I respected my enemies, but these are the guys who always wanted my stuff. I'm like, okay, you know. Oh, they were nice about it. I want some of your stuff. I said, I tell you what, I'll trade some of my stuff for some of your profit. No, I wouldn't want to do that because what they want is my stuff. So they don't have cost. I do, but they get revenue, which means if they don't have cost and they have revenue, they get profit. And I have cost, but I don't have work. So without work, I don't get revenue. Guys, if you don't know it, that's part of how the game is played. I'd rather use your guys because that enhances my profitability and it actually hurts yours. And at the end of the year, they're like that guy in the movie who everybody hates, but ends up smiling because he wins until the third act, of course. So look, again, if we're talking about a small favor, rarely asked, it's okay, go ahead, do it. It's especially true for known friends or allies of your boss. Okay, let me say again, actually, maybe I haven't said it in this cast yet. We have a podcast about managing up. One of our key points is knowing your boss's friends and enemies. And so my question to you listeners is, do you right now list all your boss's peers and know whether or not they're a friend and enemy or maybe neutral? If you list them all as neutral, dude, you got issues. Okay. You don't know something you need to know about managing up, which by the way is a stupid word. And outside of that, other friends that your boss has, he or she knows well, above and below and across the organization. So a simple one-off favor isn't an ant trap. But there are gray areas here. First off, your ant oughtn't be asking without first having cleared it with your boss. I'm not talking about a favor. That's different. Like, hey, going to Starbucks? And here's where it gets even more interesting. There's a gray area. The gray areas are always more interesting. If you don't have an especially good relationship with this ant, and she hasn't spoken to your boss, despite her potentially positioning the ask as a favor. Now, I'm talking about a resource spend kind of ask. It's not you going to Starbucks. If we're talking about something, anything more than trivial, that's an ant trap by definition. If it's not trivial and she's asking you for resources, and if they're your resources and therefore by definition, by inference, your boss's resources as well, and she hasn't asked him first, you're in an ant trap, what should you do? And the answer is, when your aunt is a friend of your boss, our guidance is to be inclined, not guaranteed, to grant the ant trap. In other words, to do what they're asking. But we're going to go further in just a minute, so bear with us. It's wheels within wheels. If you yourself have a good relationship with your aunt and you have a good relationship with your boss and you're not aware of any bad relationship between your boss and your aunt, you can also probably acquiesce to the request. And again, that's not the end of it. But if your aunt is an enemy of your boss, just tell her you'll have to check with your boss. Now look, guys, we're not stupid. This isn't without risk to you. She'll know it's a fair play, what you're doing. Of course, that would be the out that they would probably take if they were being a pawn in somebody else's ant trap game. But think about it for a second. She holds you in low enough regard, yes, it's true, to attempt to suborn you and doesn't want her ant trap thrown back in her face. She's hoping her role power, this is what makes it the classic ant trap, will cow you. That's how highly she thinks of you. Even though now you know, sorry, lady, you don't have any rule power here. you might be thinking it never hurts to have friends in higher places. But in the ant trap's case, it brings out the relativity, the comparative nature of relationships between you and your own boss and you and your aunt. You better be careful of strengthening your aunt relationship at the expense of your boss relationship. One in the hand is worth 50 in the bush. Now look, your aunt might be spiteful. Oh, I can't believe you did that. She's done this all the time. And, you know, everybody else goes along. I'll just go ask somebody else. Okay, sorry. So you might get burned. But dude, that's what your bosses do. Take care of you. Okay? You'll have to tell him, hey, look, I said no. If you want me to say yes, I'll say yes to her, but I gotta say no based on what I know your relationship. And she was not pleased. None too pleased. So Just saying, I might need some air cover, boss. Squeak, squeak. Now look, guys, if you don't trust your boss, we don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, that's outside the scope of this cast.
Yeah, I
wish tell you what to do. Go get another boss.
Yeah, that's just right. Yeah. Or get promoted twice and change him. Yeah.
There you go.
As the saying goes, all happy families are alike, but all unhappy families are unhappy in their own way. And look, if the ask is just enormous, a potentially unsustainable amount of work, regardless of the nature of all these relationships involved, you can just say no and say, hey, you need to go talk to my boss. Sorry, I can't. You know, my boss is a good boss. I like working for him. And this is too much of an ask. He's asked me to be very careful about this stuff. My team's fully tasked. So just talk to my boss. And I got to tell you something. You know how you'll know you have an ant trap after the fact? Somebody comes, somebody asks, and you say you follow this guidance. You're like, I'd love to, you know, but I got to tell you, my boss has said we're on a tight leash, so you got to go talk to him. And you talk to your boss 2 weeks later, and she never went and talked to your boss. That was a total ant trap. She didn't ask him before. She asked you directly. She inferentially suggested that you ought to do it because she outranks you, quote unquote. And then she never went to your boss, meaning she knew he was going to say no. And she basically got caught in an ant trap.
Yep. Well, and regardless, whether friend or foe of your boss, yeah, you got to keep your boss in the loop.
Yeah, right? Dude. Well, you know what? We shouldn't have to say this. I got to tell you, I got into a conversation with somebody this week in one of our sessions about, well, what about the need for the direct for you know, they're pretty busy. And so why do I have to keep everybody updated? And I sort of chuckled. I said, because you do. He says, well, why? I said, because it's how things work. Well, why? And to his credit, I think he was being genuine and I was trying to be a little funny. And I don't think he quite got it because I've discovered recently I'm not funny. That's okay. I don't care. I laugh at myself all the time. So to me,
I do too. I look in the mirror, just so you know, laughing. You are funny. Yeah, I find you very funny.
No, yeah. So I tried to explain to him the issue of being in an organization, the magnification of human potential. And he says, yeah, but it finally got down to it. I explained it and everybody's like, yeah, I see some nodding heads on the Zoom call. And he says, but I don't want to.
Well, there you
go. Okay. Now we're there. Now we're down to the rub.
Now we understand.
It's good to know. And I said back to him, yeah, I don't care. And he said, oh, okay. He gets it. I don't want to, but my boss says I have to. And my boss doesn't care that I don't want to. And I said to him, in this situation, if it's really that big a deal, you need to decide whether or not you want to stay. But I ain't letting you off of that responsibility. It's like level 2 responsibility after wear clothes. You know, you have to communicate about stuff. But certainly on this, and this is certainly true for frontline managers, and it's true for directors, and it's true for senior directors, and so on. You got to keep your boss in the loop, okay? Now, you get to the C-suite, and maybe one level below that, a little bit different. Because as we've said before, when you get to the top of the organization, when the lines start converging at the apex of the triangle or the pyramid, whatever you want to call it, you can do nothing by yourself. Everything is collaboration. As I've said before, when you look up at the top of your organization, folks, if you're a manager, if you're a senior manager, if you're a director, if you're a senior director, if you're a junior VP, if there are 3 or 4 levels between you and the CEO, I promise you, when you look up at the top of your organization, what you call politics, they call collaboration. It's normal. There's all kinds of favors being exchanged. There's all kinds of It's not rank. It's not role power. It's we're all a team trying to get stuff done, and we have to be as flexible as possible, because if the people at the top get rigid, people at the bottom will be stuck in concrete. So if you get an ant trap request, accepted or denied, let your boss know. If you're a little worried about it, ask permission specifically. That way you can go back to your aunt and say, I'm sorry. So in other words, you could say the aunt comes to you and says, hey, I need you to do this, whatever. I'm like, yeah. Instead of just going to tell your boss, say, listen, I'm sorry. I gotta go ask the boss. We're on a tight leash here. And you say, alas, right? You might say something like, hey, Margaret, I know I kind of gave you the idea that I would be willing to do it. I'm sorry I spoke out of turn. My boss has other plans for the resources, right, that I'll need to do that thing you needed with the thing. So I got to retract. I don't mean to retract my willingness, but I have to retract my yes that I'll do it because my boss says he's happy to discuss it with you, but I don't have the authority. So I'm just a lowly whatever.
Yeah, but that, man, I tell you, going back to my aunt and telling her I can't do something, that I'm not going to feel very comfortable doing that, to be honest with you, dude. I don't know if I should have to do that.
You know, your comfort. Every day I wake up and the first thing I need to worry about is your comfort. Yeah. That's one of the problems with the modern world today, in my opinion. And this is not young people per se. It's not. It's not Gen Zs, not millennials. This idea that somebody else should be responsible for your comfort, or that at work you're supposed to be comfortable. In fact, being a professional is about seeking out the edge of discomfort. I'm not talking about the bleeding edge of risk and hurt and blood. I'm talking about constantly learning, constantly getting better. As I've quoted many times, Satya Nadella, who I think is great, the CEO of Microsoft. I really wish he'd fix some of their login problems and so on, but God bless him. It's one of the greatest companies in American history. And Satya Nadella says, the learn-it-all usually beats out the know-it-all. And this idea that people need to be comfortable, and therefore they don't need to volunteer, they don't have to have their video on during a Zoom call, they don't have to answer questions, they don't have to describe why they did something so other people can determine how they might be able to fix it when a problem comes up. This comfort thing is grossly overrated. But regardless, you're obligated to do it. Keep your boss posted about workloads and resources. If things change, you got to let your boss know. You think your boss knows everything that's going on in your little neck of the woods? Not a clue, brother, sister, not a clue. And whatever you do, holy Toledo, don't ever blame a deliverable you or your team missed on the fact that your resources were working on the ant trap.
No.
That would be not good at all.
That's not a good idea.
And the final thing I'll say, two things before we summarize. Relationships make this thing a whole lot easier. When there's high trust, these things don't happen very often. And then the other thing I'll just say is when you become an aunt or an uncle, tread lightly. Don't put your nephews and nieces in this situation.
Just amen, brother.
Yeah. Okay, you want summary?
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay. Role power isn't rank, folks. Your boss's peers can't demand work out of you and your team. They can ask, but they can't demand. There are times when it's okay to say yes, and times it's okay to say no, and times to refer to your boss. But no matter what, your boss has got to stay in the loop. And this is just another in the thousands of examples of role power, politics, and the power of relationships.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, fun.
Thanks, my friend.
And I hope we get some juice from the fact that we updated the uncle trap to the aunt trap.
Yeah, just much more pithy, so.
Yeah.
Well done.
My pleasure, partner.
All right, my friend. Thanks, everyone.
So long.